Community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And to learn more about PAX Inc., their codes of conduct, how to become a member, how to donate, get involved, and to get into the educational section, which is their learning center, make sure you visit the website at www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where it's the home of what we do. You can learn more about myself, Patrick, Enigma Sep, our hip-hop extraordinaire with the Enigma Sep Hour, his podcast. Learn more about the Fix Sports podcast and Lessons from the Screen, hosted by Patrick. So once again, that's www.freedomtrainradio.com. And remember, the Freedom Train Network app is available in the Google Play Store. So go ahead, go into the Google Play Store, search Freedom Train Network, and the app will come right up, and that way you can be connected and never miss out on anything. And just a reminder to you all that it's May, so every May is our Black Women Celebration Month. Why? Because we love Black women. Black women have inspired us, have helped us to get to where we are, so we want to make sure that we show some love to the people who've been showing us love since day one. So today on the Freedom Train podcast, we got somebody who's family to the show. This young lady is a champion in life. She's a champion on the basketball court. She's a champion as far as leading others to become champions. In the state of Florida, literally, she's a three-time state basketball champion, a three-time coach of the year. She's a pillar in the community. She inspires a lot of people. And I'm glad to be able to call her a friend. So I want all of y'all to get together and put your hands together. Stand up, rather, and put your hands together for Miss Erica Cromartie.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
No problem. Thank you for being on here again. You know, we like to make sure that we get our interviews with you. You know, every show, every podcast got people who are staple guest, and you are a staple guest. So, you know, you do amazing things in our community. So we just want to make sure that, you know, you got a home, you got a platform to be able to come and get your information out.
Well, I just thank you for even giving me the opportunity to even be a part of the podcast. Like I said before, it's like since I started doing these with you, I actually enjoy doing it. Like I look forward to it every year.
I appreciate that. I definitely do appreciate that, because we try to make sure that we put our best foot forward to make this something that people do enjoy. Yes, ma'am. So, even though we've talked multiple times in the past, we got a lot of new listeners who may not have been able to get acquainted with you. So could you give them like a brief introduction of who you are so they can have some background information before we go kind of deep into the questions?
Okay, sure. My name, like you said, my name is Erica Cromartie. I'm a resident of Midwest Florida, born and raised. And I work at FAMU DRS, where I teach physical education, kindergarten through fifth grade. And I also coach basketball there, the girls' basketball team. And as you stated before, we won three state championships, 15, 16, and 17. And I was coach of the year of those years. And the past 2 years, 18 and 19, we were in the Final Four. So I can't say, since I've been coaching at FAMU-DRS, I've at least made it to the state finals every time. Three times we won it, and then two times we've been in the Final Four. So that's a blessing to say that. And I just, every day, I try to inspire my students and my players to just do well and to work hard. And once they realize that the benefits that can come with hard work, I think they'll be successful, and I'll be happy that they are successful because I feel like I've had a part of their life.
Now that's amazing because like your accomplishments are rubbing off on those around you. You know, we literally expect you all to go to state and to win it every year, and that's just a testament to everything, all your hard work and dedication. You know, let me ask you this. Do you often, when you're looking at your success, do you often sit back and think about the times where you may have doubted yourself or times where you may have thought that, man, I wish I can get past this, or do you kind of like look at it and just marvel in it? What thoughts go through your head when you're thinking about your success?
Well, actually, I was just telling my coworker the other day, I was on a computer doing something, and I was like, let me just search my name and see what come up. And then I saw like different pictures, and I was like, dang, I guess I've never really sat down and just looked at everything from a standpoint of when I started coaching to now. I guess I just never did, but someone once told me, it was like, you know, you got to be able to understand that you got to cherish the memories, cherish the moments, because once they're gone, you know, that's it. So I said, I'm going to start doing that. But I just never feel like, even at this point, I'm grateful for, you know, what I've accomplished and where I am, but I still feel like it's more to come, you know.
Right.
And
right.
But at the same time, too, like, you don't want to not enjoy the moment because y'all thinking about the next thing. So it's kind of like a catch-22. Part of it is like enjoy the moment, and a part of it is like, you know, but then you thinking about what's coming up next. So I kind of battle with that. But
I get you. It's like you said, you're enjoying the moment, but you're not getting too complacent, and at the same time, you're not
Because then I don't want to be like, this is what you've done, so it is, you know, all that. No, I don't even get into all of that. Like, I'm grateful for it, but it don't really define who I am, something like that.
Nah, that's amazing, though. That's amazing. So, like, it's been a year since we've had you on this Freedom Train podcast, and I definitely appreciate you for coming on my Fix Sports podcast for my Life After Sports segment, because one of the things with that is giving athletes and families ideas and things about what the totality of sports can bring, not just being an active athlete, but being able to still be in the realm of sports and make a difference. And that's what you are doing, still in the realm of sports, making a huge, huge difference. So last year, what was your highlight? What was the highlight of your last year? And what was like the greatest lesson you learned from last year to this time?
You mean this basketball season that just passed?
Just like, even not even just basketball season, but just like your year in total, you know?
I guess it's twofold to that. Teaching and coaching, teaching wise, I guess I just realized that you can make impact with students, because if you teach for a while, you'll start to feel like, I know I did, you'll start to feel like, okay, you're just going through the motions, you know, you just kind of like, it's a routine, you don't feel like you're impacting the kids. But this past year, like, I really had to catch myself and see, like, dang, I am making a difference. And some of them, all of them might not understand or believe what you're saying, but some of them are. And that thing, that kind of stood out to me the most when it came to teaching, that you know, just being a teacher itself, and the kids see you doing certain things, they admire you. You know, you are making a difference. And with coaching, I would say it was more so because this team was so young that I had. Like, and then it was like a mixture of kids from different schools. We had kids from Lincoln. I'm sorry. We had kids from Leon, a couple from Gaston County. Then we had one that was homeschooled. And, you know, it was just a mixture from every different place. And so for me to pull them together and at least get to the Final Four, even though they're young, I feel like that was a great accomplishment. And then to have one of my girls sign a basketball scholarship, and at one point, she wasn't even in school, and at one point, people kind of like gave up on her. She probably had even given up on herself. So to see her sign that scholarship, I think that was the biggest, highlight of this past year, because at one point, she wasn't even considered to do anything, and now she's about to go play basketball in college. So I think that's the biggest thing that stood out to me for this past year.
Now that is amazing, because she has a chance to change her life and change her whole future. Because, you know, mm-hmm. like you said, a lot. That's one thing I do like about you is, because I'm always complaining about how adults are always giving up on the youth. Adults are always coming down so hard on the youth, not giving them a chance, giving up, and not really understanding that they was once youth. But also, it's like it takes a village to make sure these kids get what they have going on. And obviously, you created a great atmosphere for that young lady to be able to pull it all together and be able to change your fortune like that. So that's a great testament to things that you and your coaching staff and the teachers and things that's going on at FAMU High. So definitely hats off to you all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the biggest, I would say, thing that stood out. Like, not even the fact that we made it to the Final Four. I mean, that was good, too. But I think that right there just stood out because, like I said, she was counted out on all ends. People had given up on her. Like I said, she probably had given up on herself. So to see her sign for the scholarship, I was like, oh, yes.
That's good. So who did you all your last game in the state finals, who did you all play? And what do you think kind of contributed to you all not necessarily making it past that team?
You know, you said what made us not win the game.
Yeah, like what was kind of different this year than kind of the years when you actually was able to get over the hump and make it to the state or win this championship?
Youth. That is the biggest thing that kind of caught us up because, to me, we looked at the girls when we got there. They were kind of like starstruck, like, you know, a deer in headlights. So we knew then, okay, you know, I don't think we only had one person on the team. No, two, matter of fact, two girls on the team. Well, actually, three or four was there last year and made it down there, but their roles were a little different. So they didn't really, you know, understand it. And then this team being so young and kind of inexperienced when it comes to the playoffs, in a sense, we just kind of knew, like, the stage is kind of big for them. So, you know, most of them are coming back. So we pray that when they go back next year, because we're going to go back next year, that they understand what it takes. You know, they can get over the hump finally. Because the last 2 years, we've gotten down there to the Final Four at least.
Right. And who did you all play in that game?
Who did we play? I know the team out of whatever, from Orlando or somewhere. I can't remember the name, but and honestly, Joe, I mean, in my opinion, you know, I felt like we could have competed a little bit better than we did at the time. But you know, that's hindsight. That's neither here nor there. You know, you just gotta take it how it goes and build on it.
Right. So I want to ask this question as far as interest outside of basketball and teaching and things, because I know you're a multifaceted human being. You don't have just one focus. So, and I always wanted to ask you this question as well. What is something outside of basketball and outside of teaching that you always wanted to accomplish that you either are thinking about getting started or something that you've already kind of took the steps to do? Kind of what is that thing and what got you interested in that thing?
Actually, coming out of high school, going to college, and so I want to play in the WNBA. That was my goal. But once I got to college, and kind of was like, it's kind of different now. I really didn't know outside of basketball what I wanted to do. So I am in the field, but just not in the way I thought I was going to be in. Did I think I was going to be a basketball coach? No. Did I think I was going to be a teacher? No. So that's how I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, because I didn't want it for myself at one time. You know, sometimes that's how it goes. The things that you least expect to be doing is what you probably should be doing anyway, start doing certain times now. So this definitely wasn't nothing that I thought of. But am I grateful for it? Absolutely, because of the lives I touch. And it's almost like you really have to be very selfless in this profession. Even when you feel like, you know, you need something out of it, you don't, because by the most part of it, seeing other people's success off of your hands is the biggest thing for me.
Now, that's good. That's
but everybody good. Can't do it now. That's for sure. Everybody can't do it.
Yeah, you got to know what your talents is and, you know, stay in your lane. Yeah.
Right. And exactly.
Speaking of like the WNBA, can you believe it's been 25 years since it started?
But what kind of bothers me about it is the pay, though. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not saying that they got to make the same amount of money NFL players make, because, you know, I guess it's a little different, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they should at least be able to the point where they don't have to get side jobs or go play overseas in the off season to make a living. Like, you know, that's their bodies they put on the line. They should get paid a lot more than what they're getting paid.
Right, and you know, especially for the ones who have like families and things like that. Because when I found out, I saw a video or a little docu series, and they were showing how the ladies have to go. Like even Diana Taurasi going, I think she was in Russia and had to come back and had like a two week chill period before she had to go ahead and get back to training camp for the WNBA. And I'm like, Diana Taurasi, because I'm gonna be honest, I believe that the WNBA is viable enough, the women are talented enough for them to get paid. Of course, it's not going to have NBA money because it hasn't been around as long. But those women should be getting paid enough, millions of dollars, to where they, like you said, they don't have to go play overseas. And I do give a shout-out to Adam Silver, the NBA's commissioner, for his push to try to make sure that the WNBA gets improved.
Right. I mean, and then I feel like, and I don't know how this could work, but I kind of feel like the times they play are a little kind of crazy because, like, it's starting now. And, that, you know, this time of the year, people are vacationing. Like, people really not at home like that just watching the TV. Now, how will it work with, you know, because I think they share arenas with the NBA. So I said, I don't know how it will work, but to me, this time of the year they play, because I don't even get a chance to catch some of the games because, you know, during this time, I'm probably either traveling or just, it's just downtime.
Right.
And I feel like they kind of getting shorted.
They are, because it's not advertised as much. It's like, if I didn't just look for it, because I've been watching the WNBA since its first season, so I look for it, so I will actively go online, but most people don't do that. And sometimes you don't have all the time to do that. So luckily, I looked up one day and found out that, because the season actually starts Friday. And so it's you have to go actively look for it, whereas the NBA is in your face. So
right.
Yeah.
You know, like with the finals now, that's all you see.
Yeah, it is. And what's interesting, though, is I came across have you ever heard of the Knuckleheads podcast with Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles? Okay, it's on YouTube. I think the Players Tribune sponsors it. So Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson, they real good friends, and they started their podcast, and they're interviewing former NBA players and current NBA players. And I caught an interview. They had Cappy Pondexter on there the other day. And I was excited about that because I'm like, yes, like, they're getting those two guys respect the women's game, but the women's game is getting more and more respect because we need to have more women ballers in these spaces. And, you know, they had that one video where the WNBA player gave that man the business in the one-on-one game, and I was like, this is the exposure that women's basketball need at this time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I don't know. That's probably, we're probably not, you know, going through all the steps and don't know everything that comes with it. But I just kind of still feel like they're getting shorted. But, you know, that's some of the battles you got to deal with.
Yeah, it is. So with that being said, talking about respect, as a woman basketball coach, and I know, like, you are successful, and here in Tallahassee, it may be different. I pray it's different, but did you find it difficult even before the championships? Did you find it difficult getting respect from your male counterpart coaches? And if you did find it difficult outside of winning, and because when you know winning helps a lot, but what helped you gain your respect if you didn't have that respect from the beginning?
Well, thank God, my first year we won it. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I didn't go through those years of, you know, being a certain way that eventually you got there. Like, we came in, I came in, you know, kind of doing our thing. So that was
right.
kind of like a help because you didn't have to build to a certain point. I was able to come in and start from that point and try to keep it going. So that helped out. And then I think the fact that I'm from here and played here and stuff and know some of the coaches that's around, I think that kind of helped out as well. But
right.
I guess you was trying to ask me for being a female standpoint.
Right,
no,
right.
Because I think it's more females around here that coach as well. Now, probably because I was young, that probably was something that, you know, was something that was not said to me, but probably was said, you know, she's too young or she probably not experienced yet. But
right.
one thing about it, if you know what you know, what you know, it don't matter how old you are.
That's right. That's right. and because to me, like, I'm happy I'm seeing more women as coaches and in the NBA as well, more women executives and things. I just did a story the other day on my other podcast about the new CEO for the Dallas Mavericks, the woman, even though she got to clean up a sexual harassment mess, she's able to be the CEO for the Dallas Mavericks and things. So how do you, just overall in women's sports, how do you see women in the future? Do you think women are getting more respect now and everything is kind of, the landscape is kind of better for women now?
I think it is because at one point, you know, it was really just all, it's like male dominant. But I do feel like now, slowly but surely, like it's improving. Like it's a big to-do about a lot of the males coaching women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of, I guess, a issue. But I'm kind of two ways with that. Yes, I do believe women should get the opportunity to coach females.
Right.
You know, I do. I do believe women should be able to coach females. But at the same time, I'm not saying a man can't do it.
Right.
Because
right,
you do
right.
have some successful, you know, male coaches that can coach females. And I've had great male coaches that coach females. So, I mean, that's why I say it's kind of like twofold. I'm not against the males, but at the same time, the females should have the opportunity to coach females. Or vice versa. Like, now you have two coaches in the city, high school, that's coaching males at Family
right.
DRS. And then I think Coach Q at Somerset, you know, Coach Mel.
Right.
So that's something
right.
different right there.
It is. It is. And I want them to be so successful because, like you said, it's going to open up doors for themselves and more women who come behind them. Because it's just time for the bull to stop and people to get over this craziness, acting like women aren't capable. Because if we're talking about, like, the physical advantage, that's one thing. But we're talking about there is no mental advantage that men have over women. So it shouldn't be an issue with women being CEOs or head coaches or even heads of corporations or anything like that. It really shouldn't be any issue. And some people are still stuck in that archaic way of thinking. So you just got to keep pushing through. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and then the more, like, you see, like, I just shared something on Facebook. It was this lady. It was, I think, the skills camp or the some kind of NBA league, but she coached it. Like, she coached the team. And then her assistant coach was a male, a former player, I think it was Perkins. He used to play for the Boston Celtics. But, I mean, that was big, you know, for her to even be able to coach that. So,
right.
You're making strides. It might not be, like, at a fast pace, but at least it is a pace.
Exactly. We gotta, like I said, just gotta keep making sure we support. I know as men who say that we are good men who say that we want to make sure that women are successful. I want to make sure that we continue to support and be a voice for women to let others know that if you really believe that women can't, then you the problem.
Right. Exactly.
So I wanna talk about, you know, preparing your team and the difference. So, in your opinion, is it more difficult preparing your team for the next season after winning a championship, or is it more difficult to prepare your team for the next season after not necessarily meeting your goal and kind of, because, you know, you want to get into the mindset of moving forward and not necessarily carrying last year into this year. So mm-hmm. from your experience, which is the more difficult task?
That's a good question, too. From my experience, it didn't matter, either one, because when we were on the three runs, that state championship, the three runs, they just, those girls, they just wanted to play and they just wanted to win. So it wasn't a different tactic I had to do to say, oh, yeah, I take that back. Oh, yes, it was, because the third one, and then that one was the toughest one, I would say, because it was more so like, you know, I mean, the target was definitely on our back. You know, they felt like we had lost certain players, so that was it. Mm-hmm. So I did use all of those negative comments or those negative things, and I just throw that at them, like, all the time. So they just got tired of hearing it. Like, I mean, I did use a tactic with that, like, just, you know, just told them everything that was out there. Because sometimes I don't, because it's just, like, fluff and clutter, and sometimes you just don't want to give the energy to that. But for that team and at that time, I used it to my advantage. So it does depend, but the last group, the last two times we went down there and lost in the Final Four, I think they were just so young and kind of inexperienced to that point. So they're more so just needing to just get the reps in. You know, I'll probably be like, okay, a couple of y'all have been down here twice and came up short. You know, that you can use that, but for the most part, this group now, it's more so just working hard individually so as a team they can get better, because it's just, the skill set just has to get to a certain point to get over that hump for the Final Four. We're making strides, but
right. You
just got to work. Like, people just feel like, oh, you put together on a team, you'll win. No, it's a lot that comes with a team, especially girls. Yeah, it's a lot. They can be the most talented on the court, but if you got chaos off the court or vice versa, then you won't get it. Not saying we had it because we didn't. I just felt like we were just young. So we just got to keep working and keep getting prepped. And I think we'll do it. We just got to keep working hard.
So what did you tell this young team? Because you had something in place, and your motivation was there to be able to even get to the Final Four. So at times when you saw this young team, when you saw that youth showing, what were you able to tell the team to kind of get them to pull it together enough to even be able to make it to the Final Four?
This time I just talked about their individual strength and how their individual strength can carry over to a whole team, because being that they were young and kind of inexperienced, they doubted their capabilities. I think that was the thing too with this group. I think at times they doubted their capabilities. The teams I had in the past, they knew what they had to do. Like, they know what they brought to the table. But I think the last couple of years, you know, they kind of was kind of like self-conscious, especially the last year's team, because those same girls, some of them, were now playing bigger roles. So they had bigger shoes to fill, and I don't know if they, you know, understood what they needed to do. So more so now it's just getting them to individually buy in about their skill set, and then that carry over to a team. So it's just reteaching and going back over skills and giving them confidence, really.
Right. Now that is important. I mean, for any environment where you have people, but especially for this team environment where you have these young ladies who are still developing mentally,
emotionally.
So,
because one of my guards this time last year, she was playing middle school ball. So that's a big jump from that to now. So I just knew it's gonna just take time.
Right. So how do you as the coach not get frustrated knowing that your team is young and knowing that it takes time? Even because, you know, you came in winning out the gate from jump, you was winning.
Right.
So how do you be patient and not get frustrated with the process of knowing
now,
that this team has to build?
I'm going to say this, because the first thing I'm going to say, now I am human, so I can't say the whole season I'm like, oh, no, it's just a process. No, I can't tell you that I did that. But overall, I did, because, I mean, I'll be in a moment for a second, then I'll bounce back, like, okay, you know, get back. I'll be Erica for a minute, and I'll be Coach. You know, I'll go back and forth. But the overall picture is you just got to know that. But, see, that comes back from when I played the game. I didn't come out the gate when I first started just balling. No, I went through a lot of processes. So I revert back to that. I revert back to teams I played on that struggled in the beginning and then got it together. So, I mean, I just try to look at all of that. And then you got to look at even small games with young teams. It could be they beat you to practice one day and they already ready to go. That's a game. It could be someone want to stay back out of practice and work on individual skills. That's a game. It could be during the school day or after school, they all getting together talking about the game they about to play. That's a game. So you got to look at even small things that can contribute to the big picture, especially with young teams and inexperienced teams. But you can't go around reps and hard work. I keep saying that. Mm-hmm. There's no way around reps and hard work. Like, you can't have instant gratification. It takes work.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that because, you know, being that you were successful early, you've been successful early, people think it's easy sometimes, especially those looking on the outside in, they thinking that you just gathered up all the best players in the city and you didn't really have to do this and do that. But even if you did,
I've heard it. Oh, the team was already good. What else I've heard? I can't remember everything I've heard. But, yeah, I've heard a lot of things. But people don't realize you got to be able to coach those teams. And then all 3 years I didn't have the same girls. You know, we had to coach them every year.
Right.
You know, great teams fall in playoffs and semifinals, can't win the whole thing. Great teams.
That is definitely true. So, and speaking of, like, because you, now, with that being said, you've also had talent. You've had talented young ladies come through. What's the young lady's name that went to Louisville?
Jasmine Jones.
Yeah, how is she doing?
She's doing good. I seen Jazz today. She was in town. She came to the school to work out. She's doing good. Okay. She's coming up on her senior year. My prediction is she will be in the WNBA. That's my prediction. I'm gonna say that. Not only because she's my player, my former player, but because of her work ethic and because of the person that she is. I just feel like that's what's gonna happen with her. And I'm sure she does too, and that's how she needs to be. You gotta believe it in yourself too. So I'm sure she'll be there and we'll support her even there. I think she's a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal person.
And one reason why I asked that, because I did miss the draft. I attempted to watch the draft, but I think I had to work that night. But I went looking. I couldn't remember her name, but I went looking for her in the draft.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember what thing she was. Yeah. So, I'm glad that she's doing good because I expect to see her in that draft. And that's huge, because that means her village, and you being a part of that village, her village did her right. Her village was very supportive and raised her upright and gave her the right tools that she needed to be successful. So, and that's a testament to you as a coach.
And I appreciate it, but that's what I was kind of saying before, and I tell my nephew this, not really just him, but some people all the time, to me, I feel like coaches got to hold themselves at a higher standard. Because, you know, these kids, you get certain kids and stuff. And to me, if you don't do it the best by them, then you shorten them, you know. Like, I don't like that. I really don't. Because some of them don't, you know, none of them deserve it. But if you know you're not going to do right by them, then just don't even bother with them. Take yourself out of it and be a good role model for that child. And a lot of people don't do that. And that kind of bothers me. But, you know, who am I? But I don't really like that.
No, I don't blame you.
Or it's an opportunity for them, you know, using the chair.
Right. Yeah, you can't be out here using kids to get yourself to the next level. Like, that's bad leadership.
Or once you got what you need out of them, you done with them. You know, you got to look at them as the whole person
and not just the athlete. Because everybody's not going to make it to the league, but they got to be able to be a upright citizen in the United States, you know. And just because you coach them in a sport doesn't mean you can't coach them about life as well.
Exactly, exactly. Because, you know, you're dealing with the whole person.
Right.
You're dealing with the whole person, so yeah. Yeah. So, do you know the number of players that have come from your teams overall to go on to receive college scholarships and play college ball?
Oh, I'm happy you said that, Joe, because one thing I can say, and I pride myself on this, every year I've coached at Fannie Darius, I've had at least one to receive a basketball scholarship, a couple years, too.
Right, right.
Right, so, I mean, I really pride myself on that because, like I just said before, it's not just what they can do for me, but that's for their future as well, beyond me,
exactly.
You know. You're in a situation where you can create a life for yourself and your family. So that really that holds up there with state championship, them receiving scholarships.
Right.
Like this year, yeah, we made it to the Final Four. We didn't bring it back, but my biggest achievement was seeing one of my players get that scholarship.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing, though. I mean, keep up the great work that you are doing with these children in this community. Because I'm always telling people that leaders come in all shapes, sizes, forms, and fashions and from different backgrounds and things. And I know a lot of times I see people get branded as leaders and get recognition and all acknowledgments as a leader. But someone like you, you're a true leader. You don't have to go around tooting your own horns or this or that. You have people like me and others that's going to speak for you and say, this person, we're going to stamp you and say, this person is doing what they need to do to make not only their life better, but the lives of the people in the community better. And that's exactly what you do as a coach, and that's just a woman too.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I have other people do it because I don't look at it that way. I don't try to boast or nothing like that. Mm-mm. People that really know me know that I ain't even on it like that. So I let other people do that, you know. I don't really. I just say, if whatever you do will speak for itself.
Right.
But the work that you do will speak for itself.
So when your players do get the scholarships and they're about to go off to college, and that's something that you have experienced, what type of advice do you give them to kind of help them be successful at the next level?
Oh, I tell them all the time, look, college can be one of the best some of the best years in your life. It all depends on how you do it. Like, you want to go and enjoy college, but at the same time, you're there for a reason. You're there to get education and play basketball. Now, I'm not saying every day that's all you need to do. No, enjoy the college experience, but keep it in perspective. You know, like, you can't let one way out the other. Your main priority there is to get education and to play ball, and everything else falls under that. But those are the main two things that you're there for. Because you remember, if those two things don't work or don't happen for you, then the other stuff that you're trying to do later on won't even be able. You won't be able to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We've had, and we not just sign. They're not just signing and going and not staying. For the most part, they've stayed and are and is graduating. You know, so it's not like they just sign and then they fall off. No, we have them that stay in school and finish and play.
Right, and be able to change, like you said, really and truly change their lives, and not just, hey, I play ball is life. No, yeah, ball is life, but ball is also a means to help me get to a bigger end as well.
Exactly.
That's what's up. So I want to ask you this as far as, like, a woman living in America, because one of the reasons that we do this Black Women's Celebration is to remind our Black women that, you know, we love you all, we care about you all, and you all are the greatest things ever to us. But we know this society is full of negativity, unrealistic beauty standards, low self-esteem is rampant, and we all have to get to the point to where we are building ourselves up, and we have to learn to love ourselves, whether we've done that earlier or later in life. And so society says that it's like this is a specific standard of beauty, especially like the fairest skin, the blondest hair, the bluest eyes, and you don't fit that stereotype. But nevertheless beautiful anyway. So as a dark-skinned woman living in this society with unrealistic beauty standards, how did you learn to love yourself? And the young women that you come across, how do you teach them to love themselves unconditionally?
I guess I've never, I didn't look at it as being dark and, you know, others being light, stuff like that. Others probably did, but me personally, I didn't. I just felt that everybody have their own thing about them that makes them beautiful, you know. And I have heard, you know, people have even said to me, oh, you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't just be pretty, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you have pretty dark skin or something like that. I have heard that. But to me, when you say you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl, to me, is that an insult? You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't even let it get to me that way, because some people, you know, have no malice behind it, and some people do. But I just feel like you have to be comfortable in your own skin. I don't care if you're light-skinned, dark-skinned, albino, or whatever. You're beautiful. Something about you makes you beautiful and makes you unique. So, and I think I've had a couple incidents with that about, you know, some of the players, you know, not having self-esteem or believing themselves. And, you know, I just tell them different attributes about themselves that I feel stand out versus the others. And, you know, for the most part, they receive it well, and you start to see a change in them. But I think that goes to just a part of the matriculation of life. You go through those situations where you kind of probably feel less than or whatever, but people like myself and other role models can come in and just say, oh, no, that's not going to work. Pick yourself up. You can do it, you know. But you might have times where you go through that. But for the most part, I didn't look at it as complexion, because I always found something beautiful about others and myself.
Oh, that's good. That's amazing, because, like I said, it's just so rampant in our community with low self-esteem, with a lot of women, especially now with this social media. Social media have some of these people, periods, out here doing outrageous things to try to keep up with the trends and with what people see in these filters. And it's like I know I get frustrated as a man, like, and I can see, I guess that's the growth in me. I get frustrated when, like, my favorite outside of YouTube is Instagram. So when I'm going through Instagram and I come across like a woman who is beautiful and is doing something positive, and she might have 2,000 followers, but you come across these women who showing them a booty picture, booty picture, booty picture, booty picture, and they got 1.4 million. And I shouldn't let it frustrate me, but it kind of frustrates me as a man, because it's like, first of all, she's more than just her butt. But I think we should be celebrating women as a whole. So how do you keep yourself from falling into that trap? And even like some of the young girls you deal with, how do you inspire them, or what words do you give them to help them not focus so much on what other people are saying or what other people are doing?
I mean, yeah, I've had that as well. But again, like I said before, just try to let them see what they have going for themselves already. Because believe it or not, even as adults, we can be that way, and we got to just think at ourselves like, well, I kind of got this going, or I'm not as bad as this person is. You know, we kind of forget about the small things or the things that we are doing well that keep us going. We more so tend to think about the negative things. So I try to show them the positive things they're doing and what they could be doing if they wasn't doing things right, and where they could be at if they didn't. So just try to reel them back into the positive side. I mean, because they see or hear so many negative things about them, or see, you know, on social media and stuff. You want to just keep feeding them positive vibes, positive energy, because eventually then they'll start seeing things from a positive lens. But if it's always negative, then they're going to start seeing things negative.
Right. Now, that's true. But that's, once again, I go back to true leadership. You doing, you recognizing yourself and understanding. Like, I saw a video, I watched some of the TEDx videos, because I do classes at the Disability Sisters in Sobriety. So one of the videos I was showing them was a woman talking about how she finally met herself. Like, she got rid of all the bull that she's been taught and finally sat down and realized who she was and met herself. So as you were saying that's what I was thinking. Like, you met yourself early in life, and mm-hmm. you fell in love with what you met about you. And I think that's so beautiful about your whole story is you, even though you, like I said, you're not perfect, you are human, you do have your challenges, but at the end of the day, a great foundation was set for you to have even this mindset that you have now. So that's amazing to me.
And that came from just, of course, my family, my mother and my family, my sisters and stuff, and then my surroundings. Like, you know, sometimes you got to be careful who you surround yourself with or where you surround yourself with, because different surroundings can dictate how you view yourself or how you view others and things around you. So that's definitely important. I even tell some of my players, you know, you got to watch who you be with. You're not like that, so you know that's not you. So it's a lot that comes with it. And then people feel like, oh, you've done everything yourself. No, it's people that help you. You might not give everybody that you need to give credit to, but you didn't get there by yourself. It's somebody that helped you along the way. So
Exactly.
Definitely that.
Nobody is an island. You had some help to get to where you are.
You had some help, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell my players, like, if somebody helped you, then you need to be in a position to help somebody else. You know, like, just because you made it to a certain milestone or situation doesn't mean you just start reaching back. No, you need to help the next person. Like I tell my older players, at one point you was where she was. So you need to help her get to where you are now. But you're going to need somebody to help you too, you know.
You have to give back or like they say, pay it forward. Make sure that the cycle of goodwill keeps going. That's how you make changes in the world that you don't like.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's why I think coaching. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say that's why I think coaching and teaching goes hand in hand, and it's a selfless act because it's definitely not about you when you coach and when you're teaching. Like, you're giving yourself to others, and that's why I say everybody can't do it. But the ones that do it and do it wholeheartedly and do it to the best of their ability, to me, will be successful. That's all I want to say.
Nah, that's true. That's true. Now, I want to get your opinion on these NBA finals. And have you been watching like the playoffs and things?
I have. Okay. I've been watching them.
Okay, so well, first I want to start, like, what's your opinion on, let me rearrange it. Right now there are a lot of storylines and things that are saying, because we don't know if it's all true, but that Kevin Durant is unhappy with the things that are going on with the Warriors, that they're winning without him and yada, yada, all this. And you know how the media mm-hmm. can throw a lot of trash around. But we do see the Warriors being successful. So if you were coaching in the position where you had this superstar who's like this the best player or the second best player on the planet, you had this person and that person was out and the team was successful without that person, how would you keep that person encouraged? And when it comes back to incorporating them into your game plan, like, how would you handle that to make sure or to help that transition back into the lineup be successful so you all can go on and win at the last level, at that next level?
You mean when that person is out, how do I implement them coming back? Like, when they're out and we're successful, how do I implement them coming back to keeping it going? I've never had that, but I would say if I did, you definitely want to, even when you have superstars, quote unquote, you still want to make sure the surrounding cast is just as strong, because just like the fact that he went out, if the surrounding cast wasn't strong, then they wouldn't be in the situation they're in now. So that's kind of twofold, because to me, now he can see that it ain't just about you. Like, one monkey don't stop no show. Like, it still can go on. But at the same time now, I'm sure the ones that's playing definitely feel like, you know, when he comes back, it definitely will be a help. So we got to be like a puzzle. We got to be like a piece that's going to fit in when he comes back. Now, he's still going to probably get his. He's still going to do what he's going to do. But it has to stay within the game so it won't take away from what has been going since he's been gone. So it's, to me, it'll be a conversation and probably some strategies within practice that can plug him back in, but at the same time won't lessen what's already been going on.
Right, right. Yeah, because it's just, you know, like I said, it's a lot of media hoopla, and we don't know.
Yeah, and you got to keep it out of locker room, too.
Right.
You got to keep that out of the locker room.
How do you keep that out of the locker room, though?
I mean, how times are now, even on the high school level, it's hard to, but you just got to, like I said, have a conversation with them, and then, you know, you just got to keep that mind, keep them on a certain mindset, like, because they probably hear it at home, hear, you know, with their family and stuff. But they got to know when they hit their gym or when they hit their with their teammates, it's about what they're doing at the time. You can't stop them from hearing it because it's just life. But you got to have them tuned in to you so they know what you say is what it is. I mean,
right.
That's just
yeah.
how they got to go. They got to buy into what you're trying to tell them.
Now, that is true.
And I can't say with that. I've been successful with that, having them buy in, because if you can't give them the buy in, I don't care how successful, I mean, how good they are, it ain't gonna work.
Right. Yeah. Because like you keep saying, it's bigger than talent. It's definitely bigger than talent. You got to have some other things going on with yourself.
Just because you're good don't guarantee you're gonna win a state championship. That's just not all that comes with it. It's more so to it than that.
Exactly. Exactly. So, all right, now we got the Warriors in the conference finals. Did you expect them to sweep the Blazers the way they did?
Yes. I'm not trying to be funny, but yes.
I
give the Blazers a game just being nice. But yes, I figured they would. Look, say Golden State. They have at least four players that can go off at any night.
Yeah.
At least four, you know, Durant, Steph, Clay, Green, I'm sorry,
yeah.
And then the other dude, Igloo Wogler, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
that's five, really,
yeah.
But I just said four, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a four-headed monster that just keeps coming at you, keep coming at you. You guys were able to withstand that. And who? They came.
Right.
You know,
right.
You have teams make runs and stuff, but you got to do that throughout the whole entire game. And I haven't seen a team that can do that yet. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, because they are the first team since the mid-60s Celtics to go to five straight finals. And you know, you got to, some people don't listen when you be talking, so you got to make sure you say it slow and say it clear, because people are like, nah, LeBron went eight times. Like, nah. That's an individual. We're talking about a team, and it's difficult to get a team back to that point because, well, you're kind of in the same boat. You've been FAMU DRS 5 years now?
Yeah.
And every year you've pretty much been in that final. So, like, so you understand from your standpoint, you understand what that's going through. Like, how difficult is it to do that and, you know, what's the experience like? Like, not even other questions, just like, what's the experience like to truly look up and say, wow, this is the fifth time I'm in this position?
Just recently I thought about it. All before that, I didn't even think about it, Joe. But just recently I was like, wow, we've been 5 years. Every year I've coached here, we've at least won it or at least gotten to the Final Four. That's a blessing, man, because I'm sure it's coaches that's coached for years and haven't even made it to the state championship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
For that to happen within my 5 years, I'm just like, thank you, Jesus, because that's who it is. Like, I couldn't tell you coming to FAMU High that, okay, since I got there, I'm going to tell you, we're going to win three in a row, and then the other two, I'm going to at least get down to the Final Four. I couldn't have told you that. So
right.
That's
right.
All it is. And people feel like, and I think you said it before, like, y'all already expect that. That's good to know, but it ain't easy.
Right. It's, I mean, to be successful isn't easy, but to – because what I was watching the game the other night, and the quote was, it's it's hard to become a champion, but it takes dedication and more hard work and discipline to remain a champion.
Exactly.
But you've been able to figure that puzzle out, though.
The
hat's off to you for that once again.
Yeah, but, like, even with that, we have, and I guess we see that with NBA, but you have people or teams that's trying to, everybody don't like that, you know. They try to find ways to knock you off or to just keep constantly coming behind you, which is life, you know. So I don't look at it as anything personal. I just look at it as, heck, they want to be successful too, which everybody wants to. But with myself and my coaches, we try to just make sure, look, we can't worry about what they're doing on the street. We can't worry about what they're doing across town. We have to focus on them, the IRS, and our girls, and let everything else take care of itself.
That's true. That's true. So, well, who do you have in this Bucks-Toronto series? But who do you think was going to be the one that's going to face the Warriors in the finals?
Whoever, either one, not going to beat the Bucks. I mean, the Warriors, but let's
right.
see. That's hard because to me, it's like those two teams are kind of on the same platform. Then it's the Warriors. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Right.
They're by themselves, and the Warriors way above them. So whoever comes over from over there, I just feel like not going to have enough to beat the Warriors. But if I had to choose, for some reason, I feel like going with the Bucks. Like, I like Leonard, and I feel like he is a game changer. But I just feel like he needs somebody else with him.
He does. He does. I thought he had more. Help, but it does.
He needed probably. Right, he need at least one or two. First of all, he need one more superstar with him, and then maybe like one or two more role players, and they're good to go. But to me, it's just him and then everybody else, and I don't know if that's going to be enough to get past the Bucks. But it don't matter. Like I said, whoever even win that, I don't see them beating the Warriors.
Right, right. So let me ask you this because. And to me, analytics have kind of tainted the game a bit with this three-point shooting. So how do you prepare or get your team in the mindset that, hey, don't let these analytics get you to try to jack up threes all the time and passing up good shots? Because, you know, everybody think they're looking at the Warriors and not understanding that Klay Thompson, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, they've always been three-point shooters. They came in the league doing that. And analytics have grown like, you have to shoot the three, you have to shoot the three. So how do you keep your team from getting caught up in that mindset?
Let me tell you, that's a good question because, oh, my God, I just feel like the NBA is not for everybody to view. People that's coming up trying to learn how to play, do not watch the NBA. Like, because, and I'm dead serious, like, that is the worst thing to watch. To me, it's more so for entertainment or for people that has played before and kind of know the difference. If you're coming up trying to learn how to play, to me, I just feel like that ain't nothing you really need to watch like that, unless it's certain players or certain teams. But just coming down 3-on-1, jacking up threes and stuff, to me, that's not good basketball. Is it exciting? Yes. You know, can some players do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I just don't feel like that's something they need to learn from if you're an amateur, put it like that.
Right, right. Now, I mean, I agree because, like I said, I'm watching these games and I'm seeing these players pass up so many good shots to get the three.
Yeah.
Like I was even last night's game, if the Blazers
when he stepped back your boy stepped back and traveled. He had the two.
That could have ended the game.
Right.
And it's like, come on. Like you Steph Curry, like you're going to make that shot with a two-pointer. But, that frustrated me.
Right. You stepping back and travel because you're trying to get to the three-point line when you had an open two. That, like you said, probably could have sealed the game.
Right.
I mean, and that's so funny because I told my girls that today, some of my girls, I said, did y'all watch the game? They said, no. I said, because we was going over some drills, I was like, Steph Curry, and I'm nothing against him because I feel like he's a phenomenal player, a hell of a shooter, too. But I said he had the two. I said, but he stepped back to the three-point line and traveled and could have shot the two. Like, I don't know why they feel like that's the hardest shot. And now, you know what, though? It is a tough shot because you got to really concentrate more and you got to know how to shoot it. See, the three-point is a little easier shot, believe it or not.
Right. No, I get that. But like you say, it's because my thing is you want to take high percentage shots more than you take these low percentage shots. And because, like you say, the game was tied. They just needed 2 points. You just needed 1 point to win, but he went for that. So that kind of frustrated me. And then even when the Blazers came down, looking for the three to win the game versus the two, because I felt, you know, Steph Curry had played the whole second half. So if they could have got the two, probably went to overtime, they probably could have got a victory, or it'll have been a little easier for them or something like that, because now you're making the Warriors play harder and stretch, and they already down three starters. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to me, it'd be bailouts, you know, like on both teams, bailouts on offense and bailouts on the defense, because first of all, it's so funny because I tell my players this all the time, like, make the defense work. You know, coming down, jacking up threes, first of all, you're going to get tired, too, because you don't shoot a high percentage shot, and you got to run right back to play defense. And then, you know, it's just bad basketball. I mean,
I agree. That's why I wanted to ask you that, because I was just going crazy last night, just screaming at the TV, like, come on, you got to do better than you got to take better shots. You know, I understand.
I'm not against the three. I just feel like it shouldn't be. They shoot threes like layups now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I just don't think a three should be the first shot you take.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel the same way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you this. And it's going to be in reverse because usually we're talking about others supporting you. But I want to talk about you as a supporter because you do show a lot of support to your friends and your family and community members.
I appreciate that.
Well, because we do see you, you know, through social media and just out in the community, we do see you supporting others when you don't have to because you're a very, very, very busy person, but you still get out and support others. So with that being said, what's the most rewarding part of you supporting those that you really don't have to support?
Because to me, like, I don't know if it's just my sign or how I was raised or just the person that I am, I actually enjoy seeing people, I don't even have to know them, but people doing good things and being successful. I don't know why. I just do because, first of all, I know from, I guess, being in this position, I know what it takes. I know the hard work. I know the things you got to go through to do it. So I know it's not easy. So to see somebody come out and be successful with them, I'm just like, ooh, kudos to you. You know, good job. And then sometimes, too, I try to learn from those people because, you, like I tell my girls, you can learn from anybody, young or old. You can learn from them. So, like, I mean, I'm supporting them at the same time, probably picking their brain about something as well. But right. I just like to see people be successful. I mean, especially good people and just people that's deserving. I just like it. I don't know why, but I do.
It is fun, though. It is fun to kind of see people just do their thing and just be successful.
Right. I mean, because, like I said, my girls, it's too. It's just not all about you. You know, you can be blessed just supporting somebody else.
Right, right.
It ain't always about you,
And I want to ask this quick question, because there are a number of women basketball coaches in this in the Big Ben area. So between all of you coaches, how do you all go about supporting each other, like on the court and off the court? And what is that sorority like with you lady basketball coaches? And how do you all kind of pick each other up and support each other and kind of help each other out as you're going out being coaches and women in life and things?
I don't know. I mean, like some coaches that I guess I've talked to more because of probably history or prior relationships or whatever. So it is something I probably were talked to more than others. It's nothing bad. It's just, you just talk to some more than others. Do I support them all? Absolutely. Am I closer to some of them than others? Yes. But that's just probably because of our walk of life and probably age, too, because I'm still considered one of the young ones. Some of them are older, you know. But for the most part, I believe everybody supports each other in their own way, you know. If it's something different, I don't know about it firsthand and I don't hear about it, so. But Coach Chelsea Johnson at Garvey, she just sent us, like, a group text. She's trying to do, I guess she's doing it, like, coaches, like, not really a clinic, but like a little round table discussion, and a lot of the coaches from the city coming together. It's just like bouncing ideas and stuff and different issues out there, just coming like doing a round table. And I thought it was a good idea. Right. I told her I was in it, I would do it. Because like you said, it's kind of a sorority and fraternity, but it is males too that coach in high school. But for the most part, you kind of all deal with not the same issues, but similar issues. So sometimes it's good to hear how your counterpart down the street handled it, or if they didn't handle it the right way, asking you, well, how you feel I should do it. You know, like I said, I learn from anybody. I don't think everybody do that, but I can learn from anybody.
Well, you are successful at what you're doing, so. People need to be listening, because learning from other people can help you get better at what you're doing, because you know a lot, but you don't know it all, and there's a lot more.
I don't.
You can learn.
No.
So.
Even though I played the game for a long time, been around it for a long time, I still study it as if it's something new.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, you think doctors stop studying about the medicines and the patients? No, they got to stay on top, and that's kind of how I do with basketball. It the game doesn't change, but the approach of it changes and the players change.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Yes, ma'am.
So you got to be able to stay with the times. Mm-hmm.
You do, because, like, the youth, and it's not that much different, but the youth today have different challenges. They think different than we did when we were in high school. So you have to be, looking at them, can't look at them through the same eyes as you looked at yourself in high school. You have to be able to look at them like, okay, this is you in this particular day and time in 2019, and this is how I can learn more about you to be able to help you more to help yourself.
That's it. And you got to reach them where they are. You can't be too high where they feel like they can't reach you, or too low, meaning that you so immature or bad that you're not even a help for them. You got to just reach them where they are. Like, I mean, some of the stuff they do, I've done, some of the girls, I mean, I tell them, look, not right what you did, but I experienced that too. You know what I'm saying? And they look at you like, oh, you went through that too? Yeah. You know, they're not by themselves. Because now the wheel is not reinvented. Some of the stuff these kids do.
Right. Right.
So,
I get that. So we're down to our final question. I want to kind of switch it up a bit this time. So,
okay.
If you had the opportunity, because I watched this movie the other day about these people who can go back in time and things, and they kind of encounter themselves. So if you had the opportunity to go back in time and give yourself advice when you were playing basketball in college, what advice would you give yourself, and why do you think that particular piece of advice would be important to you?
You get me every time this question. I still have to stumble on it. I guess, and I don't know if I said this before, but I think it would be to enjoy the moment because, like, especially in college, because you're actually competing for your money. Like, you got to make sure you on top of your game and keep your scholarship and stuff. So I'm not saying I shouldn't have worked hard, because I believe I did. I had to keep my scholarship. But just enjoy it, because playing at that level, I don't care if it's D2, D3, JUCO, D1, to be able to play in college, like that's a big time thing, and everybody don't get the opportunity to do it. So I would just say I needed to enjoy it, enjoy the moment, learn from it, and just move forward. I think I was so eager and so, like, worrying about keeping my position and all that till I just worked so till I didn't really enjoy it. Like, I don't even have film, which I wish I had. I only have film from college to see how I was.
Right, right. Nah, but once again, a lesson learned that you can kind of pass on to others. But so I know you're getting film now, things that you're doing now, though. Getting, make sure you got in the pictures.
Yep, and I'm trying to, like, what I'm going to do now, and my friend, she kind of encouraged me to do it, and probably my sister, too. I'm going to get, like, this, probably do digital and a hard copy of just, like, pictures of the team, like, the championships, just different stuff. Like, I even have on my Facebook page, like, print those things out and just keep it some memorabilia from it because, man, it moves so fast. Like even the T-shirts, we have our three-peat shirts, our championship shirts. I'm going to frame some of those. Like, I need to have something that shows this stuff, not just word of mouth, like, you know, material that can kind of, you can reach back at and say, dang, I remember this time. I remember this picture. I remember we was doing this. Like, you know, to show to your grandkids, kids, nieces, nephews, anybody.
That's right. That's right. Now, I mean,
and like I tell my girls, I'm sorry, you'll never get the same team again, you know, like, in this moment, it's the team you're going to have. It's not going to be the same team next year. Somebody's going to graduate. So enjoy the moment.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Erica, as always, we always have good conversations when you come on.
Yes, I really enjoy it.
I appreciate you. Like, just overall, as a, like, you're a beautiful person. You're a wonderful person. Definitely, like I said, an asset to our community. You are somebody that I'm going to continue to celebrate and support forever. I can't say enough about you because what you bring to the table to me is just so dynamic and so worth our time and attention to make sure that we put our energy and our support and our resources behind you and what you're doing to our community. So once again, I just want to thank you for being who you are and bringing to the table 100% of yourself to make sure that others have what they need to be successful. Because not a lot of people do that, but you do that.
I appreciate it, Joe. And like I always tell you, I appreciate your platform. Like, even when I'm not on the interviews, I listen to them or I follow them because I just feel like what you're doing is just so important. And sometimes it can be overlooked, I'm sure. But just remember what you're doing, it's for the right reason. It's for the right reasons, and I appreciate it, people like you.
I thank you for those words. I really do, because, you know, sometimes we do need to hear that. And then make you feel good. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're doing it. I mean, like, I'm sure it might be overlooked because it's not popular in some eyes, but you're definitely doing what you need to do. So I would say continue to do it.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you. And so I ain't going to hold you up no longer, but
no
definitely
problem.
Thank you, because this is our Black Women Celebration Month, and we're celebrating you this day and then with this podcast. So continue winning, continue being beautiful, and I definitely, you know, we're going to stay in touch, and I'm going to have you on the show again.
I appreciate you. Now, I'll be ready, too. I'll be ready to do it.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, good night.
All right, good night.
Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Erica Kamari. Man, y'all go ahead and put y'all hands together. Great people, man. When you're surrounded by greatness, you ain't got no choice but to be great. Surround yourself with those who can help you become the best that you are. And that's what we try to do. One of the reasons why we built this platform, Patrick and I, we built this platform so we can make sure that we are an asset and we're connecting the people in our community who make our community better to the community members who may not have an idea of what's going on. But we try to do our best to make sure that people are connected and that we can make a difference within our community. But what's the point of having a platform like this if you're only looking for the popular stuff? We're more about substance than popularity right here on the Freedom Train Network. Hey, remember, our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, our app is available in the Google Play Store, Freedom Train Network app, so make sure you get it. It's a free app. Go ahead and get the app. Please support Lessons from the Screen on Patreon, patreon.com/LTFS, Lessons from the Screen. Also, support the Fit Sports Podcast on Patreon, www.patreon.com, The Fix. www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we do what we do when we do how we do, because this is the Freedom Train Network. So two fingers in the air like a player, because you know we just got to
I'll holler.
Thank you.